Stocks turn up even as the long-term interest rate hits an historic low. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. After the Dow fell 3%, 800 points yesterday, the biggest drop this year, a turnaround at the start today. This happened right about the time the retailer Walmart published its quarterly results. Walmart's profits and sales were better than expected, led by online commerce, up 37%. The company says tariffs aren't stopping shoppers, and Walmart stock is up about 5% now. That was the quarter ending in June. Once we got to July, Amazon pushed a big two-day sale with macroeconomic effects. Many a Thursday, we consult Diane Swonk, the chief economist at Grant Thornton. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what were you telling me? Christmas in July. This started with Amazon, didn't it, this year?
Yes, we saw 2 days of Prime Days, but it wasn't just Amazon alone. A lot of other retailers this year matched the Prime Days deals, and we saw an absolute surge. The strongest gains in retail sales were in those non-store retailers. That's where you get online sales, up almost 3% during the month, but from a year ago, up over 16% from a year ago. Those are big gains, and some of that will have some give back in August because the deals aren't there anymore, of course, but nonetheless, when they put the deals out, consumers showed up online.
And if you're wondering if tariffs are dampening the mood to go shopping, the answer at the moment in the United States is no.
Certainly not at the moment. And what we are seeing as well is consumers are willing to kick up their heels a bit in the month of July as well. We saw a lot of spending at restaurants and bars. That went up quite nicely during the month. The places we're not seeing spending, though, isn't things you would expect. We saw a lot of mortgage refinancing earlier this year as rates have come down. We've seen them again in recent weeks as rates have come down. And building and material stores, very tepid gains there and actually contracting from a year ago. The housing market has not responded with new construction and remodeling like it once did when we see that mortgage refinancing surge.
And back to one of our top stories today, this bizarro world where 30-year interest rates for a moment today dropped below 2% for the first time. They're back a little bit above at the moment, but did you ever think you'd live this long to see that?
Starting out my studies in economics, seeing double-digit mortgage rates and double-digit 30-year bond rates, this is really stunning. I think the good news is that it does open the door to things like mortgage refinancing. But consumers are clearly, even though they're spending, and it was a great month in July, they are also taking advantage of those lower rates, locking in and refinancing their mortgages. And then it looks like they're paying down some student debt. We saw that actually contract in the second quarter. That's a good sign because it alleviates some of the debt burden going forward, but it is not what we usually see.
Diane Swonk at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let's check the markets. The Dow is up 68 points, 0.3%. The S&P up 0.3%. The NASDAQ composite up about 0.1%. All this, even though Europe and parts of Asia had down days, with the FTSE in London down 1.3% now. Let's go back to the big story of the day. Also, August 15th, today being the day the benchmark for long-term interest rates, the 30-year Treasury yield, fell below 2% for the first time. That sometimes signals recession when the longer-term rates are lower than the shorter-term rates. It's called an inverted yield curve, as we heard, but it doesn't always signal recession. Here's Justin Urquhart-Stewart of Seven Investment Management.
We have to appreciate that we've had a boom in the economy over the past few years, certainly since 2008. America has been actually living on a sugar rush. That can't continue, and that will see some pulling back. These issues now where we're having negative rates, which very occasionally you would see in Switzerland or something like that, but American debt, and even sometimes economies which we know are incredibly weak, like Portugal, are also being in a position where it's almost the debt is free.
Now, the 30-year yield at the moment has poked back above 2%. You try to put your best foot forward in a job interview, but all too often we're being judged about whether we're middle class or working class or from fancy backgrounds. This does have consequences. Rima Kreis, host of Marketplace's new podcast called This is Uncomfortable, has looked into this. She joins us. Hi there.
Hey, David.
So, I mean, what's the skinny on this? The fact is people can guess our socioeconomic background pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah. It happens so quickly.
I mean, just where we're from originally or our current status?
usually our current status. So, like, people pick up on anything that's visible. You know, I talked with this one social psychologist, Michael Krauss from Yale, and he told me that in this one study, strangers were able to accurately guess someone's class just after scrolling through someone's Facebook, so not even in person. And in another study, it took just saying 7 words that didn't even form a full sentence to be able to guess someone's background.
All right. It's why people buy fancy brands to upgrade their class status or perhaps learn to speak a little bit differently. But, you know, in the workplace, this has implications for employment, doesn't it?
Totally. And the social psychologist I talked with, Michael Krauss, he told me that we interpret class markers as a stand-in for how competent someone is.
People are very concerned about seeming like because they don't have the cultural fit that they are going to be seen as lower in competence. And then that's, in fact, what ends up happening, right? If you lack the fit, people think of you as less competent, less worthy.
And so basically he's saying that any insecurities you feel about not fitting in are actually backed up by research. And yeah, that judgment can have huge impacts on the jobs you get or, you know, your salary. Research shows that many employers, especially prestigious ones, are more inclined to hire graduates from Ivy Leagues or people who enjoy certain hobbies like, say, squash or lacrosse, which obviously can say something about what access you had to growing up.
Has your research come up with any approaches to this, to mute the effects of these assumptions about people based on class?
Yeah, well, you know, when companies have a diversity problem, it can be a sign that their hiring process is weeding people out, maybe through implicit bias. So experts say we need to hold institutions accountable, which is, you know, a very lofty idea. Research shows that one practical way to go about it is just to make sure job interviews are structured. That way you judge candidates hopefully on objective markers and not things that are irrelevant.
Rima Kreis, host of the Marketplace podcast called This is Uncomfortable. In the latest episode, she explores class anxiety and what it's like to actually enter the middle class. Rima, thank you.
Thank you, David.
And General Electric stock is down nearly 8% after the guy who exposed the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme issued a report claiming GE cooks its books. GE says it stands behind its financials. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.